All right, you heard the Valentine's Day commercial there. I'm in a little bit of trouble. My wife is upset with me because I scheduled baseball practice for my son's baseball team on Valentine's Day in the middle of the afternoon. It's Sunday at 3 o'clock. That's the time that the facility had. And my wife's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Hey, we got to go play some baseball." She's like, "People might want to celebrate Valentine's Day." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's early, you know, it's the middle of the afternoon. They can still do it in the morning or at night or whatever they want to celebrate Valentine's." So she's upset with me, but we got to practice baseball. It's like, we haven't had any baseball practice yet. Nate Bauer from Blue Wide Illustrated joins me. We're going to talk some Penn State basketball. Your wife get on to you if you schedule something for Valentine's Day that takes away from the romance of the day or anything?
You know, that's a great question. I haven't broached the fact that the Nittany Lions are facing the Cornhuskers at 3 p.m. on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Well, that's the great thing about Zoom, and to be perfectly honest with you, with sports in this during this whole thing, you don't have to be there. So I've tried to go to as many Penn State basketball games as I can. I'm not going on Sunday because of Valentine's Day and baseball practice, but you can watch everything. You can talk to all the coaches on Zoom after. I mean, it's really changed our profession in a lot of ways.
It's incredible. And honestly, I mean, I'm full disclosure. My wife is very pregnant. And so COVID concerns, I actually haven't been to a basketball game in quite some time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even putting it on the TV in the middle of the afternoon probably isn't her idea of the most romantic Valentine's Day. But we'll find a way. We'll get through it.
Well, speaking of romantic, let's talk some Penn State basketball and how it will break your heart. It will. Penn State basketball will break your heart. And they're up 58-54 yesterday, 3:16 to go. Good comeback. Michigan State's awful. That's a win they got to have. Then a lane violation at 58-56 after a missed free throw, and then the guy hits two and it's tied. Penn State loses 60-58 in a really tough game. So just what do you make about the final few minutes of that game, just the way things played out for Michigan State and for Penn State?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you've been following Penn State basketball for a long time. I've been following Penn State basketball for a long time. And there's a tendency to kind of brush aside the first 35 minutes of most Penn State basketball games.
Yeah, right.
And maybe that's the case for all sports. I don't know. I mean, this is the one that I cover, obviously, intently for Penn State basketball. But, you know, they should have lost that game by 20. The way that they played really the first 30 plus minutes, just horrible. I mean, legitimately, if John Hara wasn't 5 of 6 at one point, they would have been 6 of 31 from the floor. Mm-hmm. As a team to start that game. You know, and so if you're that terrible shooting the ball, you're going to lose, you know, but obviously, you got to give them a lot of credit. They stayed in the game, and Michigan State has its weaknesses, no doubt. I mean, that is a team that struggles. But to have a 4-point lead with 3 minutes to play, same old, same old. You know, just a broken record of a situation for Penn State that, for whatever reason, on the road in particular, they can't get over that hump. They got over the hump against Maryland. Maryland got it to one within the last 3 minutes of that game. And Penn State, they kept them at arm's length. They were able to pull that out. But, again, you know, last night, the lane violation from Jamari Wheeler, I mean, Jim Ferry obviously thought it was debatable and argued against it. You know, that was a pivotal moment. That was a pivotal sequence in that game for, you know, for Penn State. And, once again, draw up a great play, just like they had done mm-hmm. at Ohio State, give themselves a chance to win, and the shot just doesn't go down.
Yeah.
It just has not fallen for them, particularly on the road this season.
And they were in position to win despite shooting terribly for most of the game. But I will say this, and this is hard. It's hard to believe I'm saying this. They're in position to win because Michigan State's not any good. I mean, Michigan State, it's just not a good basketball team. So, yep. And that's, again, that is very, it's so unusual to say that after for about a program that's been to 22 consecutive NCAA tournaments, but Penn State's right there in position to win. I want to ask you this. This came up on the show yesterday as we were previewing the game. Is Penn State a good basketball team, Nate?
It is a flawed basketball team. I don't like. We try to see these things in a vacuum, right? And X's and O's. Penn State doesn't have enough support in the middle. John Harrah, God love him. I mean, the dude has been unbelievable this year in terms of the effort that he puts in, game in, game out. The guy, and frankly, I thought his teammates let him down last night for again, 30 minutes. He had no help last night. But outside of him, even coming into the season, if you didn't understand that Penn State was going to have problems against the majority of the teams that they face in the Big Ten, given that lack of size in the middle, you know, you weren't paying attention. So, to that end, they have a big problem. But they also have the ability to score from a multiple from multiple avenues, multiple players that has is more robust, that potential is more robust than it's ever been in any of the years that I've covered this program back to really the last NCAA tournament team, which was 2011 with Jeff Brooks and David Jackson and Andrew Jones and those guys, Taylor Battle. You know, so on the one hand, there's a ton of potential there. On the other hand, there's this glaring flaw. All of that is aside from the fact that they are still a team who has the constant overhanging cloud of everything that happened off the court this season. And it's not just the fact that Pat Chambers got fired 5 weeks before the start of the season. They had a two-week COVID break, a three-week COVID break, right? I mean, all of those things, you know, they all play a part in what you see night in and night out. And that's, none of that is to say that that's an excuse for what happened last night. You know, they are having, like, boiled down, they can't score the ball right now.
Yeah.
They've had three games in a row under 60 points.
Three games, that's the point I want to make, is against Wisconsin, 56 points. And we can talk all we want about the Kohl Center and going on the road and beating Wisconsin for the second straight game, and Wisconsin played better defense. Penn State missed a ton of shots. I asked Jim Ferry about it point blank after the game. Yeah, Wisconsin, but you missed a ton of shots. They missed a ton of open shots. Against Maryland, they won, scoring 55 points, and last night, 58 points. So you have what you have is – the defense has been good, no question. They get after it, led by Harrah. But you have an offensive coach for his entire career. Jim Ferry has been a good offensive coach, and the knock on him, especially going to Duquesne, is his teams didn't defend at all. And yep. Now, with the season on the line, they've failed to score 60 points in three consecutive games because Seth Lundy has just disappeared, and Myron Jones will disappear for 25 minutes of a game, and then he'll score eight consecutive points. I mean, the lack of consistency on this team is really head scratching.
Yeah, throughout the first 10, 11 games, you had four or five guys in double figures just about every night. And, you know, for whatever reason, the last three games, they just have not had that. They have had, Lundy is the most obvious example. I mean, I ran the numbers on him. It is a dry spell. I mean, four of his last 25 shots from the floor over the last four games. That's no good. Two of 10 or 11 from three. You can't have your second leading scorer just give you 2.5 points a game. It doesn't work. You can't have Isaiah Brockington waffling between, you know, a 15-point night against Maryland or 17, whatever it was. And then come back with one of nine last night. It just all of those things. Sam Sessoms is your kickstart off the bench. Miles Dredd is a guy who's been there. You got to make a shot. Like it feels like the time is a flat circle. True Detective, right? Like all of these things in Penn State basketball history that I've seen just keep repeating themselves. And one of the major themes, one of the things that overwhelmingly is the case, flaws and all, is they don't have guys that make shots when it matters. They just don't. Like, they've had guys that Taylor Battle used to make crazy plays, right? DJ Newbell made plays. Even Brandon Taylor made plays when they needed them. Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr. But the flaw on all of those teams is they didn't have enough guys to be able to have that next level to make the play when the first option was gone. Jim Ferry explained it last night. Myron Jones was the first option on that end of game play, right? You got to kick it to Miles Dredd. Miles Dredd, he has to hit the shot. That's what you do at this level. And guess what? Sometimes they don't go in, and you got to live with it because that's as good of a shot as you're going to get in that situation. But if their fortunes are going to change, you got to hit the shot.
Penn State's 4-8 in the Big Ten. The question is, are there enough games left to get the wins? There are. They're going to have to get at least one tough win, probably over a good team, a Purdue, a Maryland. They can get there without having to beat an Ohio State or an Iowa. But here's the thing, Nate. Jim Ferry is a good dude, and I've said repeatedly, if he goes to the NCAA tournament, he has to be the coach. I think Penn State would embarrass itself if it does not keep Jim Ferry as the coach if they go to the tournament. But what if they don't go to the tournament? And, depending on how close they are, I don't know. They're 4-8 now. What if they're 7-11? I don't know. What's your criteria, and what do you think happens if Jim Ferry is retained? What do you think happens if Jim Ferry is not retained?
I'm going to give you an exclusive here, Corey. I haven't said this. I haven't really come out and said this previously. Penn State is going to have a disaster on its hands if it doesn't retain Jim Ferry. It might have a disaster on its hands if it does retain Jim Ferry. But let's cut through the BS. No one was happy before the start of the season at what happened to Pat Chambers. All of those guys made it plain and clear as day that they were not satisfied with how the administration handled that situation. They were not satisfied with the communication that they got. You're going to lose the team. I'm not saying that some players won't stay, but this is not news to anyone. It is going to be a massive crisis in terms of all of the players that are going to have instant eligibility. Like, there is no repercussion to anybody on this team leaving. And that includes even the seniors, even the guys who are granted that one extra year of NCAA eligibility, right? If Penn State doesn't hire Jim Ferry, it's making a colossal mistake. The guy can coach. We've seen that time in and time out at this point. They need to make that decision, and they need to go with it yesterday.
Yeah, that's where this discussion gets really, really, really fascinating, because Nate's right. There are a lot of guys that are going to leave. But Nate, what if they go 6-12, man? What if they go 6-12? And look, I'm right there with you, because we could be looking at 3 years of just horrendous Penn State basketball, even if they hire a great candidate. Yeah. But does that guarantee that Jim should get the job no matter what, just to prevent that disaster?
You need, if you want to build on the foundation, it's easy to ignore, but I cannot properly contextualize how much of a dumpster fire the program was when Pat Chambers took it over.
Sure, you had Tim Frazier, and that's it.
And how much of a building process it took to get to this point. There are lots of things to harp on, lots of things to say, okay, well, they weren't successful, right? But an NIT championship and a NCAA bid, which would have happened had the coronavirus not happened, that's success for Penn State basketball. That's remarkable success for Penn State basketball. Another year this year where, again, are they where they need to be right now? No. But, I don't think that anybody would argue that this isn't a team that is highly competitive, right? I mean, this is a team that's right there. They are in every game that they've played other than maybe Purdue and Illinois.
And would – and it would bring everybody back in a best case scenario if they retained Ferry. Now, look, just for the record, I agree with Nate. Barring they just lose every game the rest of the way. I mean, look, I think there has to be some accountability for down the stretch.
Sure.
But I agree with Nate that the easiest way to keep the ship afloat and to maybe be pretty good for the next year or two is to give Jim Ferry the job. I think that should be stated clearly by anybody who understands what could happen. But there are some other parameters here. What if he gets the job and three guys still transfer, Nate? I mean, do we know that would be the case? And I got to throw this out. Jim Ferry did not earn the Penn State job by anything that he had done in his career. Okay, that's got to it's got to be said. He was fired at Duquesne, and I like Jim Ferry. I go way back with Jim Ferry. I covered a lot of games that he did for LIU in the NEC. He's a good coach, but he's not earned a head coaching job in the Big Ten on his own. Now this year, you can say that he's earned it, 'cause I do think he's done a hell of a job. But that's what the fan base is going to point to. And, Nate, I got to ask you this, buddy, because this to me is a big part of it. I don't see any passion for Penn State basketball right now, even with a team that's on the bubble. What do you see on your message board? Does Jim Ferry excite anybody? And I'm not saying they'd go out and get the most exciting guy in the world, but starting over and bringing in somebody else, is there anything, just having the discussion here, is there anything that could keep some guys from transferring and not collapse at the same time?
It stretches my imagination. It really does.
So are they sold on Jim Ferry? I guess the key is, are they sold on Jim Ferry? Or are they, because they're still going to be pissed at the administration whether Jim Ferry's there or not.
Correct, and that's true. My issue is that I understand they think they're ahead of the game by having made the decision when they did, right? They can have somebody lined up at the end of the season and go with them, but you have completely hamstrung anything for the program moving forward. Right? There is no recruiting right now.
Right.
It doesn't exist. You don't have a class that's coming in next year.
You could get some transfers depending on what the coach is and what connections he has. You know, James Franklin brought people with him from Vanderbilt. So there is a way to, even if they lost four guys, they're going to have players. Now, how good those players are or not, I mean, nobody knows that for sure.
I think it is a very, very tall ask given the fact that reality exists and reality dictates that Penn State Athletics is not going to invest a ton of money into a men's basketball head coach. It is not. And it's not just investing money into a head coach. It's investing money into a staff. They're all the things, right? Like, these guys aren't blind. They have agents. They talk to each other. They know what happened. they know what happened to the last guy who got kicked to the curb with no explanation. And what head coach, I'm don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that there aren't guys who have aspirations who will think very much like Pat Chambers did 10 years ago, that they can come in here and be the savior. That will exist. But they're going to do so also under the parameters that Penn State's not going to spend money on men's basketball. That's the bottom line. And we keep kicking. Like, I see people talking about John Beilein. Like, Shaka Smart. Never.
The only thing.
Ever.
The only thing with Beilein. The only thing with Beilein that would be interesting is if he would take it as a charity case because he's already got his money. I agree. Look, the chances of John Beilein coming to Penn State are one in a million. But could they get somebody like that, an older coach who doesn't need the money?
I don't see what coach would do that to themselves. I don't. I mean, maybe. Listen, like, I'm sitting here. I have some level of insight, but not enough to know what John Beilein is thinking right now, right? I mean, are there extenuating circumstances that could bring somebody who is wildly beyond what my radar is? Sure. Sure. Maybe it could happen. I would be stunned. That's it. That's my professional opinion.
Sure.
As good as I can do.
It's going to be somebody that most people have never heard of. That's probably going to be the case. But again, let's just get back, because we're going to wrap this up with Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated. The whole Jim Ferry thing. If they get close, if they get to 7-8 wins, I think 8 wins does it. But if they get to 7 wins and they miss out, what Nate said, man, you run the risk. And Sandy Barber has to know this, right? She has to know this, right? Or she's not listening to us. I don't know who she's talking to. Does she know that if she doesn't keep Jim Ferry, 5 guys could leave?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Like, look, Ben Jones, I mean, credit where it's due. He asked her in her most recent press conference about a response to the way that it was handled and whether or not there was anything that she could do over again. She didn't answer the question.
Yeah, it was a good question, but it's different from saying, hey, if you don't bring back Jim Ferry, Seth Lundy, Miles Dredd, Myron Jones, Sam Sessom, they're all gone. How are you going to deal with that? That's what she's going to have to deal with.
Right.
And then you're talking about an 8-23 team.
And guess what? No surprise that Pat Chambers walked into a 10-21 team, right? I mean, that's what it's going to be. And it might be that way either way. I don't know. The way that the course is laid out right now, it is a swamp to try and envision this program building on any of the foundation that's been laid over the last 10 years. It just is. And forget the past 10 years, the past 4 years. Right? This path towards relevancy, where even the middle of the Big Ten is a huge accomplishment, that's going to be challenging to keep going. It's challenging right now. It's just a matter of what is the environment that will allow that to continue to happen? What's your best chance to allow that to continue to happen? And frankly, are you satisfied with that? You see this in professional sports all the time, and certainly it happens in college athletics, where people say, you know what, I'm willing to scrap this foundation for a completely clean, fresh start, and I'm willing to deal with whatever it is, those 2, those 3, 4, 5, 6, however many years it is, because I'm not satisfied with where the last guy got us, you know, and that's their prerogative. They have that ability to make that decision. It's just, you know, for Penn State fans, which ones exist, right? The ones that are out there who always felt like this was a program taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, and felt like it was on the cusp of making progress. We'll see.
Yeah, because depending on how things go, you could be taking 4 steps back, and it could be bad for a while. That's the best discussion you're going to get on the Penn State basketball coaching situation. I appreciate it. Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated. Thank you, buddy. Good insight, man.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.